Today's guest is more than just a tag before a hit, he's a sonic architect shaping the future of Nigerian music. I'm talking about Lauda, a gifted music producer and sound engineer whose work you've heard on tracks by Ira Starr, Davido, and more. But what if I told you this story started with something deeper? Lauda believes his path was revealed to him by God before he even knew what a music producer was. So today, we're not just talking about his rise, we're diving into purpose, process, and what's coming next. So let's welcome Lauda.
So good to have you with us. How are you doing today, Lauda?
Well, not bad at all. I mean, every day is work day for me.
So days ago, I got a notification on Instagram that you went live, and I immediately just rushed, like, Lauda is live, let me see what's doing. And I noticed that you were in Paris, the city of love. Did you enjoy your stay there?
You know, when I get this question, if I enjoy my stay in Paris, so I'm always in between yes and no. So no, in the sense that most times when I go to Paris, I usually don't get the chance to explore the city or just chill and so on. I go there to work, and work sometimes can be very tedious and so on. I enjoy the work part, but I mean, the whole city, moving around, just enjoying the vibe of the city. Not really, but it was good. I like the energy in Paris, and then getting to work with French artists and so on. It was beautiful.
Have you tried the croissant?
Of course, yes. I mean, how would you be in Paris and not try that? Like, that's like the early normal breakfast. That's what we eat almost every morning. Yeah, I have.
Let's get right in. Doing my research, I saw that you play the drums and you used to play in church. By the way, guys, Lauda's first name is Kehinde. So I'm just going to give you the name K-Sticks or maybe K-Snares.
Yeah, Kenny K-Sticks.
I wasn't far off. I mean, musicians are tagging their instruments to their name.
Mm.
Yeah, but from first playing the drums at a Children's Day celebration in church to becoming a music producer and superstar, how did this happen?
All right, so like you said, everything started as I started as a drummer in church. I'm the kind of person that I want to do everything. I get bored easily. Like, I just want to have an idea of everything. So then when I was playing drums, I just wasn't satisfied. I wanted to have an idea of the keyboard, have an idea of the bass. Just, I want to be able to direct the music, if that makes sense to you. Like, you know, whenever I'm in the choir rehearsing, I usually just have like some amazing ideas that I want to share with the guys or with the team, but then I can't play it. So that curiosity just got me into, you know, diving into other instruments, because I want to be able to communicate what I want to tell them and so on. You get, so from playing the drums, you know, I dive into learning how to play the keyboard, from there to the guitar and then to bass and so on. And I like to say that God told me that I was going to be a producer even before I you know, entered a studio or did anything production. I didn't even know what production was. I just knew that this thing that I'm listening to, I want to be the guy behind the console one day. And, you know, just as me as a child, you know, always telling myself that. And so when people ask me, so what do you want to do when you get older? I'll be like, I don't know what to talk about. I want to make music. Yeah, and then I held on to that till I, you know, got into the university. And I remember on my way to class one day, I mean, I was still playing drums. I played drums for a while, played it professionally, recorded in the studio, like did so many amazing stuff with the drums. And my first, second year in school, I became popular. I remember somebody asking me, oh, so what else do you do? And I go, oh, I'm a producer. I make music. As of then, I still haven't started making music yet. Do you get? I just kept manifesting it and so on, if that makes sense to you. But then I had an idea of it, but then I haven't done it proper. You know, and until one day my roommates came and said, oh, Kenny, this production thing where you always do shout set, take. He just discovered this software that I can use to make beats. That was my first time seeing FL Studio in my life. And I saw his laptop and I was like, wow, what's this? And then that was how everything started. I started, you know, practicing how to use that software. So because I could do it in my head, like I'd always called myself a producer and so on, it was easier for me to find my way around the software. I wish I could play some of the beat I made then. I mean, I don't have them anymore, but then I wish I could listen to them. Yeah, so I was doing that for a while and I saw that it wasn't sounding bad at all. So I reached out to some of my friends that could sing then, you know, told them about what I was doing, played them some of my beats, they loved it, brought them to my house, would record with my earpiece. You know, that mic, you know, that is attached to the earpiece, would use that to record on top of the beat. And it wasn't bad at all. Like, you know, we're just happy. And then after a while, I came back home to pick, you know, the speakers in my dad's house. Then, you know, I remember putting them inside one big sack, and I put it on top of my head, you know, traveled back to Akure with it, wow. You know. And then I bought a table and a chair, arranged the speakers, you know, just clean up the house properly. And then I called the side of the house my studio. Apparently then I started playing drums professionally in different churches within the school area. So the church I was playing for then, there was a sound engineer there that owns the studio. So I walked up to him, I told him about everything I do, blah, 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 played him some of my beats and asked him if I could intern in his studio, you know, that I'd love to learn how to mix and master. And then if he wouldn't mind, you know, mixing some of my songs for me, I would work for him. And then the man saw me like, oh yeah, let's do it. I guess that was where the engineering part kicked in for me. That's how I got into mixing. And then fast forward to, you know, practicing. My mix started getting better. I was referencing mixes from Lagos and so on. And then that was how I became a mixing engineer. To date, I still mix and master. Yeah. Then fast forward to, you know, after school, you know, I left Akure to Port Harcourt to do my NYSC. When I go to Port Harcourt, I didn't work as a producer at all. I got a job at a production company. They deal with live sound, live events, screen, stage, and everything. And I loved it because it was interesting. It was different from what I was used to doing. And I mean, it's still sound. I love sound. But then before I left school, I think I skipped this, but before I left school, God told me to leave drums, to dive into sound engineering. If I go deep into my story, you will hear a lot of God says, God says, God is saying, God is saying, because I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian all my life and I listen to God a lot.
You heard God tell you were going to be a producer. Can you take us back to that moment?
I still remember the night that happened. I would never forget it. I think I was going home from rehearsal then. My life then was school, church, school, church, school, rehearsal, school, rehearsal, school, rehearsal. I would stay in church and play drums for hours. Like I would rehearse for like 5, 6, 7, 8 hours. Yeah, like I was sweating and everything. So on that fateful day, I was going home feeling like, God damn it, I just finished rehearsing. I'm going to be the next on the roster. I'm going to be the next. You know, I had so much passion for drums and everything. And then I just saw, I don't know how to explain it to you, man. I just saw a big board, like a mixer, SSL console. I mean, now I know what it is then. I didn't know what it was. You know, I just saw, you know, saw myself in the studio, console and everything. You know, I was always listening to music. And so the way God speaks to us is different. It now depends on how tuned your frequency is to him. I think I cried that night because I was going home and I was crying because it was heavy. Like I didn't understand what I was saying. Everything that is happening to me now, you get all the songs produced, traveling around the world, being in different studios. Those were the things I saw then. So as a child, I didn't understand it. So it was difficult for me to put it together in my head properly. So I started crying. I was going home, I was on the street, and I was like, what was this? Like, I didn't understand. Like, it took forever for me to understand it and so on. What that has done for me was that it gave me clarity to live on time. I've never done any other job in my life. I've been doing music all my life. Music has been feeding me all my life. I started getting paid as a drummer when I was like 15. I was very good as a young drummer and I was on salary in church. They were paying me. I didn't even know why they were paying, because I'm like, why are people paying me money? I'm enjoying what I'm doing. By the end of the month, I was covering up for all the bigger drummers in Lagos and so on, and they would collect the salary and pay me. So music had fed me all my life. Till date, I don't know what it feels like to do a 9-to-5. Or hearing from God, I just knew what to do next.
Was joining Maven part of the plan, or did it just feel like one of those right place, right moments for you?
So I mean, I go back to Lagos from Port Harcourt, and the only thing that made sense for me to do was sound engineering, because I didn't produce throughout my stay in Port Harcourt for like a year and a half. It felt like I'd lost the talent as a producer, and you know, I just felt like, okay, the next best thing to do is to be a sound engineer, because I don't see myself doing any other thing outside music. And I started looking for a job as an engineer. You know, fast forward to maybe 3 months later, I got a job in Maven, glory be to God. I got rejected at other places, you get. And then I didn't know God was planning something bigger, and then Maven happened. So I went to Maven with that thought that, okay, this is the next big thing for me to do. I'm going to be the best recording engineer, mixing engineer from Lagos. Like, they must hear my name, do you get? So I was doing my job like my life depends on it. Like, I was doing overtime, sleeping in the studio. Like, I was never tired. Let me have 24-hour session right now. Call me, I will still answer you. So I was very, very, you know, into the job and everything. But then after every session, I don't go home. I stay back in the studio. I just go back and start making beats for myself, not for anybody, because I was just having fun. There was nothing else to do after my session. Do you get? So I was doing that for a while. I didn't know that what I was doing was making sense. I was just putting ideas together. I was just making big based on all the sound that I've heard from all the producers that were coming, you know, based on what I heard them did and everything. I was just trying to play around with my own too. And then as at this time, Ira Star had joined. Ira and other, you know, pipeline artists like Ira, Bayani, Magix, you know, Lifestyle Steady, a lot of them, they had joined, and I was their recording engineer. My job was to record them. So I was doing that for all of them. And one of that night, you know, Jazzy came in and heard one of the beats that I was doing after the session. And he was like, oh, Kenny Alpha, who get his beats? And I was like, ah, nobody. I'm just playing with it too. And I was like, oh yeah, sounds good. Can we try Ira on it? And then I was like, yeah, why not? I mean, I was excited. Ira came the next day or that week. I told her, oh, Jazzy wants us to try you on this beat that I made. And she's like, oh really? And then we tried it. It wasn't bad at all. I can't remember the title of the song, but the song did not make it to any of our project. We did it, it sounded good. And so because I was our engineer, I was the closest person that, you know, she was meeting in the studio and everything. And then now she knows that I can produce. So whenever she has like any random ideas, she will share with me to make the beat for her. But the first one was Away. You know, she sent me a VN, I think like around past 12 or past 1, you know, asking if I could make a beat to this, you know, melody. And then she goes, away. Like, she hummed some melodies and so on. And then I woke up, I made the beats throughout the night. And then I sent it to her. We linked up that week. And then we recorded it. It came out very, very good. We were already in lockdown period, so it was just myself and her, you know, at the studio. And then from that idea, she sent me other ideas. And then before I knew it, we had done song 1, song 2, song 3. And, you know, we played the songs for Jazzy. And I remember then, whenever we finished recording, I would be scared to enter Jazzy's studio to play the song for him, because I didn't know that what I was, you know, what we were doing together was making sense. Because I'm like, I don't even know why this guy is sharing his idea with me. Like, I'm not a producer, but then I was just doing it. You get, I remember then she'd be like, enter now. I said, no, you two enter now. We'll stay at the door together. Like, we won't be able to enter the studio. And by the time we eventually entered and played the song, just would be like, okay. I like it. You guys made this. Yeah. Oh, really? Jazzy did not know that I produced it. Do you get? I just come in there as, let me record that. I never say I produced it. So, he didn't know, nobody knew that I was the one producing all these new records that were playing. So most of them were not the regular song. They were R&Bs, very, I don't know if you listened to our first EP, you know, songs like DITR, songs like Memory, songs like In Between, very slow, soulful songs. So we weren't sure about it, because the other songs that we thought that they would like would be the up-tempo songs and so on. Do you get, I mean, yeah, so fast forward to when they were ready to unveil her, and you know, I just realized that some of the air now started reaching out, asking me who produces the songs. They were asking what that I produced, I was like, oh yeah, yeah, I made the song. Yeah, do you guys like it? Oh, we did get. And then before I knew, out of like, you know, hundreds of songs and so on, and like a lot of songs, you know, they picked like the top five to make it to our first EP, and three of the songs that used made it to the EP, and boom, that was how everything started overnight. And the song came out a day later, and we became number one song in the country. It felt so unreal. Jesus Christ, wow. And then boom, that's how the journey of Louder started.
So here's something you should definitely check out. Louder has a playlist on Spotify filled with tracks written and produced by Louder himself. It's called Written by Louder. Louder is spelled LOUDDAAA. And trust me, it's a whole mood. From the first track to the last is like a journey. So go stream it, save it, and let it inspire your own playlist. And while you're at it, follow us on socials at The Best Music Pod and at Kamba the Creator. Drop me a comment or a voice note. You might just hear yourself on the next episode. So let's talk about a major milestone. You got to work on the 5 album, producing Anything and 10 Kilo for Davido. What was the story behind getting that call or that opportunity, knowing that the whole world would be listening?
I mean, if you just, whenever you think about me, just think God first, like God's work, because that too is one miracle that God did, was orchestrated by God. I don't know if you saw the video that he trended for a while where Davido was, you know, called me out at the listening party, and he said that we never met.
Yes, I've seen
the entire process.
I was wild.
You know, we did everything on WhatsApp, and so exactly. So tell me how, you know, that is not God, and so on. I just woke up that morning. I was just in my house, and I was like, I want to make a song for Davido. That was it. I don't know where that spirit came from. I don't know where that ginger came from. I didn't know what was going to happen next. I was just then, I was like, God damn it, I want to work on a record for Davido. And and my friend was around. I'm like, I'm on that beat for Davido now. And he was looking at me like, eh. And I'm a very weird person. And I mean, if you all my life, you will know that I just hear things in my head and I do it and then something happens. Do you get? So some of my friends are already used to that. So if Kenny says something, we'll just do it. Do you get? And I've learned to, you know, in my life, once that thought comes, I just follow through, do you get, and I wait for the result. I've never used to know what the end result is going to be, but I just go, do you get? So I just woke up and said, okay, I want to do a song for Davido. And then I made the song with my friend. We made the beats together. Dayo Gray has been my friend for more than 15 years. We've been making music together. And I told him, okay, let's make a record for David. And you know, I was just orchestrating, guiding the whole thing. We did it. You know, I sent it to a friend of mine. He put some ideas on it, some melodies on it. And so I'd had Issa's email on my phone for a while. That's Davido's manager. Because I've tried to do some things with them in the past. Like, I've tried to pitch some ideas with them in the past, but then it didn't really go through. No response, nothing. But this time I was like, okay, I'm going to do the song. I'm going to send it to that email. I'm going to send it to my manager. Send it to everybody that I know that might know them. Please try and help me send this to Davido, please. And I did that. I sent it to the email, sent it to my manager, sent it to them. My manager sent it to, you know, everybody that she knows to them. And I didn't get any response the first day, the second day, the third day. And then I got a screenshot from my manager, and it goes, blessing that the whole world won't send me this song. That means apparently everybody that I send the song to listen to it, and they've all been sending it to David as part, hear this song, hear this song, hear this song. And and before I knew it, Davido followed me on Instagram and sent me a text, guys, send me your number. And I sent him my number, and I didn't even know who was talking to me. I just knew, I thought it was his manager, do you get? And that's how he reached out and then sent me the song. Yeah, I recorded it. I was like, blood of Jesus Christ, blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus, what's happening? I called my girlfriend, David has recorded it. It's like, that was how we were screaming, like, okay, let's work on more songs. And then immediately we worked on 10 Kilo. And then I sent it to him. David was like, guy, do you want to kill me with songs or something? So this time I already had a direct contact with him. Do you get? I worked on other songs. So I worked on several songs and I was sending to him. He was recording almost instantly and was sending back to me. We're just chatting and going back and forth. Boom, that was how all of this happened in less than a week or 2 weeks, like roughly a week and a half. Before I knew it, they were done with the album. Like they were already wrapping up the album. So apparently, probably that they've been working or something, I don't know. But then it wasn't up to 2 weeks. I just knew that everything was done. And I was like, wow. I didn't know David was working on an album. Like it has never crossed my mind that I'll be on Davido's album or anything. So if anybody had told me, guys, you'll be on that next album, I'd be like, which album? Is he working on an album? Because I don't know, like, I'm not close to him. I don't know anybody on his team or something. Do you get, like, I mean, I knew some of his producers, but then I didn't know what was happening in his life and everything. So there was no way I would have known that, oh, I needed to do this at this time or something. So that was just God. So everything happened miraculously and boom, very fast.
Looking back, did that moment feel like things had come full circle for you? A church drummer to now producing records for one of the biggest artists in the world.
I think I feel like, wow, it's finally happening. One of my biggest quotes since I was in school is that it doesn't happen overnight, but when it happens overnight. You know, a lot has happened in my life that I felt like God was preparing me for this particular day. And at every single time, something big keeps happening. So whatever level I am today is not where I would be tomorrow. You know, I have like challenges and then something big happens and so on. So when this whole everything happened, I was like, wow, everything I saw then or everything that I was holding up to when I was crying, trusting God for God, what you said, blah, blah, like everything is, you know, finally happening and so on. So I just had this very grateful heart, basically. Like, I was just very grateful to God, basically, if that makes sense to you. Like, I wasn't surprised because I had been waiting for this time all my life. So I'm like, God, what's the next thing? What's going to happen this year? What's the next big thing? What are you preparing me for? Okay, boom, it happened. Oh, okay, this is the next thing. Oh, okay, nice. So it's like when Maven happened, I'm like, oh, okay, nice. I felt that was the next big thing. Before I knew it, I was producing. Oh, this is the next big thing. Oh, okay. So every breakthrough that was happening there was coming with its own battle, challenges, and then boom, something big happened and so on. So when it happened, I was like, oh, okay, this is the next one. Thank you, Jesus, glory to God. So I'm always on that. God, what's the thing? God, what's the next thing? And so on.
Welcome to the final episode of this Lauda series on the Best 5-Minute Music Podcast. In this episode, Lauda shares how he earned a nomination for Best Movie Score, his vision for emerging artists, and the secret behind his success. So, let's get into it.
First up, congratulations. You were nominated for Best Music Score at the 2025 AMVCAs for your work on Freedom Way alongside Ahura Andrew and Kobam Sasuko. That's huge. How did that come about? How did you get involved with that project?
So first of all, the movie scene or, you know, doing sound design for movie or making music for movie has been something that I wanted to do all my life. I did it in school. I studied industrial design in school. I did animation. My final year project was an animation video of Easy Goes to School. I think currently has like 4 million views on Instagram and on YouTube and so on. And I did the sound design, the score, the Foley and everything. So then when I was in school, when I started doing music, like when I dived into production, I used to tell myself that my retirement plan is movie. I didn't know that was gonna happen sooner than I expected. So there was a time that after school I wanted to go do my master's on, you know, sound design for movie and everything. But then when the whole Afrobeat thing happened, moving thing happened, I was like, okay, let me just chill on that. But then I didn't know that all of this was gonna happen. I think my first time in that scene was when I met Mr. Oscar with Osband to Kemeditiba is one of the biggest movie director in Nigeria and Africa. She did King of Boys and you know, other amazing movies. And then so I was doing a project with Mr. Oscar, and it was a movie, Finding Messiah. The first trailer came out, I think that was it last year or last 2 years. And then I was privileged to be, you know, part of the sound guys and everything. You know, that was how everything started. And then my friend, Lee Kong, who directed the movie that I got nominated for, reached out to me and said, oh, you'd like me to, he's working on a movie, and then he would like me to work on a few songs for the movie. And I'm like, not just a song. Let's do It's My Real. And then myself and Lakon, we've been friends for a while. I'd mingling then and so on. And then I just did it. Like, I didn't think it was going to be nominated for this. I just did it. We just playfully did it and then just sent him the song after what we're done. You know, nothing serious. It's not a big deal. So I didn't think that it was going to, you know, turn out to be this big or give me my first AMVC nomination or anything. Like, I didn't see it coming at all with Cobams again. I've been a fan of Cobams all my life. Whenever I tell him that, he's always like, guy, you're making me feel old. But then I've been a fan of Cobams all my life. Like, who is a producer at this generation or this age that didn't know Cobams or wasn't listening to Cobams and so on? You get like, it sound shaped some of the things that I do right now. Being nominated with Cobams, oh my God, I was like, Jesus Christ, what's happening here?
Wow. From church drums to chart-topping hits to AMVCA nomination for Best Core, what's next for you?
There's a lot to talk about, but I don't know if I want to talk about it now. But yeah, there's a lot I want to do in the tech space. Obviously, I want to dive into my own personal project very soon. You know, I want to do something for up-and-coming artists. I love up-and-coming artists a lot. So I've worked with a lot of them and I've seen their struggles and everything. You know, I know what it feels like to be at that stage. So my heart is for them. So I want to work on a few things that would make life easier for them, if that makes sense.
So finally, I'd like you to share a word or two to aspiring producers, artists, or just people out there listening to you. I mean, you said you had so many rejections before you got to Maven, and I'd like to know, how did you handle no for an answer?
So I've always had this mentality that if something doesn't work out, that means that there's something bigger waiting for me. So if I try to do something and it doesn't work, that means that, okay, this is not what God wants. Something bigger is coming. If you say no to me, that means, okay, this is not where God wants me to be. Yes, something better is coming. So that has always been my mentality. So I'm never sad. I'm never like, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. No. I'm never that person. I'm very heavy on serving. Whenever I get an opportunity to work with somebody, I serve it like my life depends on it. I learn everything that I can learn. I'm very heavy on sowing seeds. Remember when I said I started working with the producer in Akure, from there to, you know, when in Port Harcourt, from Port Harcourt to Lagos. So I've always served different people, like different top people. I'm very heavy on serving. You know that popular thing, that popular saying that believe in yourself, as generic or as cliche as it might sound, is very, there's so much power in it, to be honest, because I know how that affected a lot of things in my life. So I would say that believe in yourself. Nobody's going to believe in you if you don't. It shows in your work. It shows in the way you carry yourself and your sound and everything. You have to trust your ability. That's the only way you can stay true to your particular sound or create a niche for yourself, or else you'll just be doing what everybody's doing. Then you become number two or number three, and then you'll never be that number one. That's how I see it. Find God, for that's supposed to be my number one, because that is what has made my own personal life very easy. It's possible to do this and still, you know, have a proper relationship with God. And I'll also say that I know that some of us, we are talented in code, like we God give us this gift naturally. But I want you to think of it beyond the natural talent part. See it as a business. Understand the business side of things. Like build a structure around yourself, build a team around yourself. Don't see production as just a talent. You're just freestyling. No, it's a work. So see it like you're the CEO, you're starting a business, have a structure, have a goal, have a mission. Set up a team around you. On time, you know, have a manager, have a lawyer. Be ready for that big thing that is coming, and then just keep doing it. Remember what I said earlier, it doesn't happen overnight, but when it happens overnight. Because you're not the number one yet, or you've not had any big song, does not mean that your time would not come. It will come, but then will you be ready when it comes? Because it can come and then you're not ready for it. You can mess up that moment, because everything is a moment. That moment doesn't last forever. Like I used to say that, I don't know how long I'm going to be in the industry for. I don't know how long the light is going to be on me. Whatever time that I have, I want to make sure that I utilize it very well, do as much as I can do and everything. So it can happen to you overnight. And you don't have to you don't have to be pursuing the top five or top four. There's somebody behind you, there's somebody, your neighbor, I don't know, that can sing. You can just start from wherever you are, you know, keep pushing. That artist can be the number one artist. That artist can get signed one day and then something will just blow from nowhere. Like what happened to myself and I and everything. That has happened to so many other producers and so on. So just keep building, to be honest, and stay prayerful. God first.
And it's a wrap on this special series with Lauda. I'd like to say a massive thank you to you and your entire team for opening the doors and sharing the journey and letting us be part of this moment in your story. Lauda, I'd like to say we are rooting for you. May your wings get even louder and your next chapter be the best one yet. And to everyone listening, thank you so, so much for riding with us through this series. Please drop us a follow at The Best Music Pod and at Kamba the Creator. And stay tuned because more incredible stories are on the way. Bye for now.